Welcome to the Spirit of the Delaware Valley, a special presentation of Holy Spirit Radio. And now, here's your host, Dave Parker.
Hello, this is Dave Parker with Holy Spirit Radio, WISP 1570 AM in Doylestown in Philadelphia, and WCOJ 1420 AM in Coatesville and Chester County, bringing to you another edition of The Spirit of the Delaware Valley. What I want to start with right off the bat here is St. Augustine's prayer to the Holy Spirit before I introduce my guest. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, breathe in me, O Holy Spirit, that my thoughts may all be holy. Act in me, O Holy Spirit, that my work too may be holy. Draw my heart, O Holy Spirit, that I love but what is holy. Strengthen me, O Holy Spirit, to defend all that is holy. Guard me then, O Holy Spirit, that I always may be holy. Amen.
Amen.
Well, thank you. I want to welcome our listeners to Holy Spirit Radio. By phone is Bob Safronsky. Bob has a very interesting testimonial and story, you know, personal story. But I'll let Bob do that. So, Bob, hi.
Hi, David. Thank you so much for having me on the show today.
You're welcome. But Bob, if I may, I want to read a little bit of your bio, and then I'm going to let you kind of take over and, expand upon that, and we can just have a nice conversation.
Absolutely.
Bob Safronsky felt called by God to found Christian Life Prison and Recovery Ministries in 2004. Bob has been involved in prison ministry since 1999 and the recovery ministry since 2005. So, Bob, that's a big step. What compelled you at that point in your life to start this ministry?
Well, it started really, David, in a 20-year addiction, I have to say, on the streets of Philadelphia. Born and raised in Philly in the Kensington area. I was in deep addiction for almost 20 years, leading a life of crime also. And when I found myself incarcerated in 1997, I got saved in that prison chapel. October 9th, 1997, God got a hold of my heart and really started to change it from the inside out. And at that very point, I felt that there was a need for me to share my story sometime in the future back inside that prison.
And what a powerful story it is as we go in. But going back a little bit, who was it when you were in prison that basically suggested to you that you may want to try visiting the prison chapel? Was that somebody?
As far as the urgings of an inmate, a partner of mine inside the jail, who was my cellmate, he really encouraged me to go to chapel one night, which I had never been to a prison chapel service at that point. And really, God just started to really move on my heart. And this guy, from what I understood, I didn't know anything about him being saved by the grace of God. But I started to learn that immediately after starting to read the Bible when I get into prison. I'd like to back up for a quick minute, Dave, because when I entered into the prison in quarantine, August 1st, 1997, I asked for a book to read to a cellmate, and he gave me a New Testament. And I said, I don't know anything about that book. And he said, that's okay. That book knows everything about you. And that kind of just grabbed me. Of course, I just got the chills just even saying that again, because that's exactly what it did. It grabbed a hold of my heart. And then, of course, led me to that moment where I had first entered into the prison chapel and gave my heart to Christ that night with a gentleman named Joe DiBella, who became my mentor for 17 years. Joe was involved in prison ministry with Crossroads at that point.
I've heard of Crossroads,
that night. Yeah. So it was just a powerful night, just urging of a cellmate to go and experience church. And God just really got a hold of my heart through his love and his grace.
Well, amen. If I have a question, I mean, I don't want to pry too much, but when prior to this, you said, of your early life, had there been any exposure to church or Bible or anything, like as a young man?
Well, we were church people on Christmas and Easter. So there's a little joke out there that people would call those creasters.
Oh, creasters, yeah.
Not Christians, but creasters, because they went to church on Christmas and Easter. And really, that's what we did as a family. My mom was a praying mom. I always remember her with those little innuendos, but we weren't a regular church-attending family. I knew nothing about Christianity or Christ as a kid. Mm-hmm. So we didn't really grow up in a church. No, I can't say that we did.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, I was raised as a Lutheran. I was a convert later on, like in my 20s, but referred to those as C&E people, you know, the Christmas and Easter people.
But, exactly.
Yeah, I'm sure there are many others that people have used in the past, but be that as it may. Okay, so you're here with us, and I appreciate your time. I know you're a very busy man. So basically, you know, you have this event, and how long have you been doing the event? And then how it you got involved, and, you know, you started, what, in 05, 2005, basically? And then from there, how did it grow? I mean, you know, was it like by the seat of your pants?
After I came out of incarceration in 1998, I felt that I was called by God to go back into the chapel. So I just prayed, David. I got out and prayed. I got my job back. I began to work and live in my mom's house. And I immediately got a call from a ministry which was Crossroads, that I got saved under in the prison, to come back into jail. And a year later, after being released, I found myself involved in this prison ministry in 1999. And then in 2000, I was actually able to share my first message by opening up the scriptures with the men. And that just led into this unbelievable journey, which I didn't know anything about ministry at that point. I was learning all those beginning steps of what it meant, and commitment and faithfulness and all those things that are needed. So I stayed with Crossroads for 5 years, and then in 2004, we met with our senior pastor, David Costin, at Christian Life Center in Ben Salem, and said, hey, we have this vision. We want to start prison ministry here at the church. He brought us in. He said, what do you need? One thing I do remember him saying, this is your ministry. It's not my ministry. You are running the ministry, and I expect you to do it with integrity. So we started Christian Life Prison Ministry in 2004, and that's really where it started. We weren't involved in recovery ministry at that point, so it started out as Christian Life Prison Ministry in 2004, and then quickly led into a recovery ministry part of the ministry in 2005, because we started to work with the homeless and realized some of those were addicted to drugs and alcohol. Just like I was, and we began to get them into treatment and recovery programs, and that led into the recovery part of our ministry, which the whole story of this leading up to Music Fest is pretty fascinating, David. Mm-hmm.
Well, it sounds like it. I have a question. I'm a veteran. I was in the Army, and I retired a while ago. But I know that there's a huge homeless veterans population out there. So do you have veterans that avail themselves of your services?
Well, they have. We have many that have come through the ministry. We've had a lot of veterans come through that have done ministry with us.
Mm-hmm.
But what we had noticed is that the veterans that were on the street, of course, we know the population of that being homeless is pretty great. There's a large number of those that have wound up homeless.
Yes.
Served our country. So I remember this guy. I'll tell you a quick story. This guy, Philadelphia Phil was his name, in Center City, Philly, where I had worked for about 6 years. And he was a veteran, yet he was homeless, and he was a Christian. And he would follow me around in my delivery truck, and he would go stop to stop, and we would talk about the Bible, and we would have lunch together. But he would never leave the street, David.
Mm.
That was his home. His nickname was Philadelphia Phil. Everybody knew him from 2nd Street to 20th Street.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, you know, there's a large population of those that have served our country that we've had the opportunity to minister to and share the gospel with.
There's a faint bell in my memory that I've heard that name. I've heard that. Philadelphia Phil, you know, in the past. I really have. I can't place when or where, but that's coming up in memory. Well, good. Now, in your work, I'm sure that affects all demographics, and you see all demographics, you know, youth, young people embarking on a life, and then maybe they were partiers. And what's the trend, or is there a pattern that you see that, you know, manifests itself? A lot of people come from broken homes, or were there solid families?
I think
in your experience, what do you see?
I think it's both. I think, you know, addiction and incarceration does not work by demographics or geographically. It is everywhere. And, of course, this day and
absolutely.
Age, compared to when I was in my addiction, you know, back in the 80s and 90s, it's much different now. I mean, opiates, of course, are our biggest crisis in our community and across the country and probably around the world. But it does not hit just a home that has been broken, and there's one parent like mine. You know, my dad left when I was 11 years old, so I struggle with that. I blamed my addiction on him, but I have come across many families that we have worked with their loved ones getting them treatment that they've come from affluent homes in Yardley, Pennsylvania, Middle Township, and you know, the suburbs of Philadelphia, you know, where they grew up in a solid home, a Christian environment, a church environment.
Mm-hmm.
So it can hit anybody, any place, anytime. There's a statistic out there, David, that, you know, 5 or 8 years ago, it used to be 1 out of 5 or 1 out of 6 people in church had somebody directly related to them that was struggling with addiction or incarcerated.
Mm.
Well, that number has dropped to 1 to 3.
Mm.
1 out of 3 people in church now.
Wow.
Have a relative or a loved one or somebody close to them that is either incarcerated or struggling with addiction. So the crisis is there. That's what we're here to do, to help those that are behind the bars or those that have come out and need placement into housing, and those that are in addiction that need treatment. And, of course, a solid meeting or a nice, you know, place to go, like our coffee house area where Music Fest came out of, that gives them an environment that's safe to come to.
And what a stark statistic, or, you know, trend that you just cited. I want to say, though, I want to kind of segue. I came to know of you by someone that was involved with the Bucks County Blitz. Kathleen Mulholland said, oh, I should, Dave, you should interview Bob Safronsky. I think he'd be great. Because back in the spring, I interviewed Robert Whitley, who basically started the Blitz several years ago. And so were you guys involved as one of the vendors or whatever at the Blitz this past spring?
We were part of the Faith in Action convention, the addiction convention that Robert Whitley helped put on at the Newtown Athletic Club. We helped him put that event together back a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I was there. I was at that one.
Yeah, that's when we got a chance to meet Robert a year prior to that. So he's been a really good part of what we do as far as Music Fest. He has his own story to tell, you know, with family. But his heart is towards the addict and those incarcerated. Of course, being an attorney, he's in the field of helping people himself. So,
absolutely.
But he has really got us connected with the constituents of Bucks County and those that are seeing that the faith-based part of recovery has been tremendously helping those because the success rate is much higher than those programs that are secular. So, of course, our faith in God, our faith in Jesus Christ is the most important foundation that we can ever build in our recovery. So that's really helping a lot of people, David, right now. So, Robert's been a really good part of helping us get to those areas where we couldn't reach before.
Okay. Bob, let me say, this is Dave Parker at Holy Spirit Radio, 1570 AM in Doylestown in Philadelphia, and WCOJ, 1420 AM in Coatesville in Chester County, that you're listening to. And my guest is Bob Safronsky, and he's sharing a testimonial basically about, you know, his life and how he and the Lord in his life led him to basically start Conquering Life Prison and Recovery Ministries Incorporated. Why don't you tell us about that?
Well, the event really came out of the coffee house. So our coffee house started back in 2011 at Christian Life Center, where we decided to create this environment once a month for the recovery community and families of those that are struggling with addiction, to bring them into a place where we would provide a solid environment with Christian music and free coffee and cake and a message of hope. And that really led us into taking the coffee house and taking that outside the building and putting that into a big production in 2013 at Christian Life Center. So we are going into our seventh year of the Conquering Grounds Outdoor Music Fest and Relapse Prevention Walk at Christian Life Center in Bensalem, Pennsylvania. And we're excited, David, because over these past 6 years, we have been able to raise funds to write scholarships out of our scholarship fund to help those
Wonderful.
That are coming out of incarceration and those that are in addiction. So we have written hundreds of scholarships over the past 9 years since that scholarship fund started in 2010, helping those in our community directly that are struggling and families that needed support financially to help their loved ones. So with this event this year, the seventh annual, we plan on really continuing to not just raise funds, but reach out to the community and supply resources that families are looking for, David, to help their loved ones, whether they're incarcerated or in addiction, or have some clean time in recovery, that they're looking for a solid living environment or a good Christian meeting to come to that sharing a faith-based message of recovery that we do. So, and several others like us. We're not the only game in town. There are several ministries out there that are have very solid meetings now throughout the week. And you can find a lot of that on our website. There's a lot of information about our ministry and the meetings that are out there available in a Christian environment.
And what is that website?
That website is www.clprm.org. That's the acronym for Christian Life Prison and Recovery Ministry. So that's www.clprm.org. And then there's a website, David, for the Music Fest, which is musicfest2019.org for this year's event.
Awesome. That's so awesome.
We do have some great speakers lined up for the event. One of our speakers for the day will be Pastor Mark English. He is the new senior pastor at Christian Life Center as of early 2019. He is excited. He has a heart for our ministry. He has a heart for the community. And we're looking forward to hearing from him. And then also Pastor Jacob Bejoy, who is from the Bridge Church in Bensalem, Pennsylvania. Also, he'll be one of our guest speakers. And then we'll have several recovery testimonies lined up for the day. One of them is a parent of one of the guys that we helped incarcerated about 3 years ago. We went to visit him, helped him out, and decided to walk his own direction. And he recently overdosed on fentanyl, wound up in a coma, just about died. They asked the family to remove him from life support. The family refused. This is about 3 months ago, 3.5 months ago.
Oh, my goodness.
The family refused to remove him. They insisted on them putting him back on antibiotics and medicine. And today, David, after, you know, much prayer, we have spent several hours in that hospital room praying over Christopher and his family. Today, he is walking, he is talking, and he is in the middle of rehabilitation from the injury of the overdose. So he has a traumatic brain injury, but God is restoring his health, and he is alive today.
What a beautiful story. What a beautiful story,
Andrea,
Bob.
His mom, will be sharing from the stage that experience. And, you know, David, when we work with a family who is struggling with someone that is in addiction or incarceration, it is amazing to see the work that God does in the family and not in the client. So with Andrea, God is doing an amazing work in her life personally through this experience with her son.
Beautiful.
So we're looking forward to several powerful testimonies. There's going to be a what we call a recovery cardboard parade where people are writing their clean time and what God has done in their lives, and we march them around the field throughout the stage area with some music playing, and then we're going to be lighting some candles and ringing the bells, remembering those that we have lost to addiction. So at the event, David, there is a memorial tent for those that can come place pictures of their loved ones inside the tent, light candles and those types of things, and we can remember them during the day also.
Oh, that is wonderful. I can't wait. And I invite our listeners to actually look this up. And if you have something planned that you can put off, I would suggest strongly that you go to Bensalem. What's the address, Bob?
The address is Christian Life Center, 3100 Galloway Road, Bensalem, PA 19020. The time frame of the event, David, registration for the relapse prevention walk will start at 10:30 a.m. The walk begins at 11:30, and then Music Fest kicks off at 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. There'll be stuff for the kids there. There'll be a moon bounce. There's the playground area. There'll be face painting and balloons and a gospel tent for the kids. And then stuff for the adults, of course, will be the music, and there'll be food available for purchase there. But it really is about raising more awareness, David, of the problem that we're having, supplying the resources for our community, and also raising funds for our scholarship fund that is going to help people throughout the year that are incarcerated and in addiction. So we're looking forward to a great day in Bensalem on September 14th.
Sounds good, Bob. That was a great synopsis. We're coming up maybe with about 2-3 minutes left. One thing that struck me from your bio is your life verse, you know, Jeremiah 29:11. And if I may quote that or read that, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. They are plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a future filled with hope." I thought that was so fitting. How did you come to have that as your life verse? I mean, there's so many verses.
There are so many verses in the Bible we can stand on, David, but that one struck me the hardest because being incarcerated, coming from a broken home, 20-year addiction, it was hard to come to a place where I thought that I was actually going to have a life again. And being saved on October 9th after being incarcerated in 1997, you know, God gave me that verse to let me know that there was a plan for my life. There's an actual plan that God has for each and every one of us, and it's not a plan to cause disaster, but it's a plan for the future. It's a plan to give us hope. And one of the translations of that scripture, David, says there's an expected end. And there's a place called heaven for every one of us that knows Jesus Christ as our personal Savior.
Amen.
And that took me to a place of hope. It's not like hoping that the Eagles win their opening game this weekend, David. It's a different kind of hope that it's an eternal hope. And when we can get that seared in our heart by the Word of God, and by the Holy Spirit of God, it changes us. It changes us from the inside out, and it allows us to share that hope with other people that I have now been doing for 20 years. I celebrated 20 years of ministry this past February, which is an amazing miracle in itself. And I celebrated 22 years, also August 1st, clean from my addiction. So, you know,
that's awesome,
that in
Bob.
Itself, David, with the lifestyle that I've led, it's a miracle. That can only come from God.
I firmly believe that and know that. Amen. Now, I was going to say, anything else you want to add in before we close?
No, David, but we need help. We need help financially. We really do. We need help to help people.
Okay.
Our ministry is it's a small ministry with a fairly large budget to help people throughout the community, and it's all run by private donation. So anyone that is coming to the event, they can make a donation that day. They can make a donation through the website at musicfest2019.org. And certainly there's still room available for vendors that want to become a sponsor at the event and just be a part of what's going on in our community helping people. They'll be amazed when they show up that day. The camaraderie of different ministries and organizations that are helping people throughout the region that will come to the campus of Christian Life Center on September 14th.
Wonderful. Wow. I was going to say, this whole interview, here we are at like 27 minutes. We're going to have to be closing pretty soon. You shared something to me on a text today, because I mentioned to you that our show with Joe Montone, Finding God in Prison, you know Joe from way back when. And he,
absolutely.
Yeah. So I just want, I couldn't resist but giving a shout out to Joe Montone, who's also, you know, one of the Holy Spirit Radio family loyal people who comes in and he does this, does his show. He called it in today, Finding God in Prison. Same ministry in a way, but the Spirit is so alive in many
Absolutely.
People. In many people.
He's a great brother. He has the Wings program, which is inside the prisons now. Mm-hmm. But I can't remember what exact year it was, but it's been about 10 or 12 maybe 15 years since we met. We brought Joe in as a guest in our ministry and got him, you know, inside the prison, planted inside to see what we were doing in ministry, and then made connections with prison staff, the volunteer services, to say, hey, this guy has a solid program. He would like an opportunity to come in. And Joe's been in there ever since helping guys. You know, he has a unique story himself, leaving his you know, executive position,
mm-hmm.
where he was, I believe it was an airline.
He was he's an airline pilot by training,
yeah.
and profession
yeah.
for
and,
many
and
years.
He left that to do ministry, and I'll tell you, he really does have a heart for the guys. He really does.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for that shout out to Joe Montone. We're coming to the end, ladies and gentlemen, our faithful Holy Spirit Radio family of listeners. And I just wanted to thank Bob Safronsky for coming on and talking about this wonderful event that's coming up a week from tomorrow, September 14th. And so basically, if they have questions, Bob, can they contact you by phone?
They can. They can. They can contact me directly. The ministry phone number is 215-833-2512. And again, the ministry website, they can send an email through, which is www.clprm.org.
Okay. Well, thank you, Bob. And I hope you have a blessed weekend. And I know you have a lot of preparation to that you're still working on. So everybody, come on out and see and meet Bob Safronsky and many, many others and listen to their beautiful testimonies, their powerful testimonies. So this is Dave
Parker. David, can I take a minute to pray for your listeners today?
Oh, absolutely, Bob. Absolutely.
Yeah, I'd like to just take a quick minute if I can, and then you can bring it to a close. I won't be long, but I do want to just bring this before the throne room of God. We just thank you so much, Father God, that you would give us the opportunity to reach those in the airways that are listening to this radio program, the Holy Spirit radio program. Thank you for David. Thank you for those that are in production of this radio show. But I just pray right now, Lord, for those that are out there listening that may be struggling with addiction and looking for help. Our services are here for them. They're free of charge. We don't charge anybody anything for anything that we do. And certainly, Lord, we pray for families that have loved ones that are struggling or those that are incarcerated, that they would reach out for help to an organization that can offer them the services necessary to bring them hope back into their families and those that would become freedom, free from addiction. And just praying, Lord, that you would continue to move through this community, that we will be able to help those that are willing to receive that. So we just give you honor and we give you praise today for what you're doing. And I thank you so much, Father God, for sending your son, Jesus, that we would know him and have eternal life. So we just love you so much. We just ask those things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, Bob, and good luck with your event. And this is Dave Parker signing off with Spirit of the Delaware Valley.